Today's program was brought to you by Fiji Water and Patina Events at Brooklyn Botanic Garden, an idyllic location for weddings, corporate events, and parties of any style. Visit us at patinaevents.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show tracing the stories behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm your host, Linda Liu. We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, we dig deep on a dish or an aspect of Asian cuisine, and we interview experts on the topic. So sorry, guys, we missed you last week with the spring snowmageddon that closed the studios last Wednesday. But we're back at it, and it's actually beginning to feel like spring. Also, guess what? It's our 50th episode of Feast Meets West. Woo! Sending out our gratitude to everyone for tuning in. And today, we have a fun episode for you. While we've talked about Korean barbecue in season two with Chef Judy Ju and how to cook it at home, today we're covering how the Korean barbecue experience can be elevated, unexpected, and how one can be more mindful and respectful of your meats. I'd like to welcome to the studio Simon Kim of Coat, which is what he calls New York City's first Korean steakhouse. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about you. Born in Seoul, Simon Kim grew up on Long Island in a household where food always took center stage. Simon had a knack for hospitality since he was a kid and started out his food career at the tender age of 16 working at his family's restaurant in Tribeca. While studying hospitality at the University of Nevada, Simon worked at the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino as a restaurant manager at Japanese restaurant Shibuya. Upon returning to New York, he led the front of house teams for a number of top restaurant groups, including BR Guest, Thomas Keller, and John George's Matsugen, and The Mark. During his time at The Mark, Kim met his collaborator, Christopher, is it Cipollone?
Cipollone. Yeah.
Whom he collaborated to open Peoria, a new American restaurant in the West Village that received a Michelin star for three consecutive years. And in June of last year, Simon opened Coat, which has received numerous accolades already, including a glowing two-star review from the New York Times, three stars from New York Magazine, three stars from Eater, and a Michelin star. The only one to be awarded to a Korean barbecue restaurant anywhere in the world. Congratulations, Simon. I think you're doing pretty
well. Thank you for the great introduction, Linda. That's flattered.
So let's talk about it. What is a Korean steakhouse?
Korean steakhouse is
a brand new concept.
It's a brand new concept. Growing up in Korea, I loved Korean barbecue restaurants. And it's convivial. It's exciting. It's very interactive. When I moved to New York, New York was also hallmark place for American steakhouses.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Korean steakhouse is Korean barbecue restaurant, and American steak, New York steak is American steakhouse. We put that together and then create a Korean steakhouse.
Yeah. So let's talk about how is this experience different from what we know as Korean barbecue here in the city, like typically in K-Town?
Sure. So Korean barbecue in K-Town, 32nd Street, they're all amazing. It's very convivial. It's exciting. You go there and you get pretty smashed, and you go to local karaoke next door.
Right.
If you can find the which floor it's in, the elevator, you know, generally on seventh floor of office building.
With your Korean friends.
Yes. So if I were to kind of characterize that experience is very convivial, very interactive. But one of the challenges that Korean barbecues in K-Town have is it's got to be served really fast. Mm-hmm. And because it was opened initially by the first generation immigrants, they didn't have any real ambiance and level of service and English-speaking servers. And
yeah, so the American steakhouse experience comes in to play.
Exactly, yes. So, Code, we try to offer the same amount of exciting and fun, but we try to supplement it with, you know, quality of American steakhouse, as well as great wine list, fun cocktail list, and the best beef that money can buy.
Nice. Okay, so let's look at the flip side. How is this experience now different from a typical American steakhouse?
Yes, American steakhouse, Peter Luger, Wolfgang's, I love them. You eat so much beef and some cream of spinach and a lot of heavy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a big steak that comes with your big order. Steak.
And then a little more like heavy sides and whatnot.
To ensure that you're rolling out the door.
Precisely. So Code, what we try to do here is instead of serving with more heavy items, all the side items are like pickled vegetable. And we have kimchi. We have fresh wrapping leaves. So the idea is you can enjoy like four different cuts of meat and share it amongst your friends, so it becomes really interactive and convivial experience, as opposed to ordering, like, do you want a filet mignon? Do you want a New York strip? Instead, you know what? Linda, let's get filet mignon. Let's get New York strip. Mm-hmm. Let's get ribeye, and we'll all share, like, three pieces at a time. And
yeah, so it sounds like there's definitely more variety of what you're eating, and with that experience also, like, each bite could be personalized and exciting. Is that what you're going for?
Absolutely. So the best bite of steak is always the first bite because it's fresh off the charbroiler. At Code, we brought the charbroiler out to your table. So each bite is like first bite.
Yeah, amazing. And then what actually inspired you to come up with this concept?
Out of necessity, I love meat. That's I'm a carnivore, and I love eating meat with my friends. And I was looking for a place where I can take my non-Korean friends who are looking for, you know, something a little more quality driven. And I couldn't find one. So I thought that it's something that New York needed that it didn't know it needed. So out of that, I decided to open this.
Amazing. And then while you were in Korea growing up, or as you go back to visit, what's the Korean barbecue experience like there? Is it more similar to what you have at your restaurant now, or like what you see in K-Town?
So Korean barbecue in Korea is kind of similar to steak in America. You can find like a, you know, casual, accessible steakhouses like, you know, Outbacks of the world and local kind of mom and pop steakhouses. But also you can find something like Peter Luger, which is, you know, quality driven.
Yeah, you save up to go there for a special occasion.
Precisely, yes. So in Korea, you can find all sorts of, you know, very high-end Korean barbecue to very casual Korean barbecue. And in New York, it seems like up until now, it was very much focused on the more of a casual environment.
Right. Yeah. Go get smashed.
Get smashed.
Which you can still do at Code.
Absolutely.
Is that allowed?
It's so allowed. In fact, it's actually encouraged. The mission of what we try to accomplish with our guests, the best time is when our guests get lit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I feel like there, I saw some neon signs which kind of represent this mantra while I was there. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, so we have a bright pink neon light that kind of brings out the party animal in you.
So cool. So you started describing what sounds like the butcher's feast, which is kind of like the signature thing mm-hmm. on your menu, right? So can you describe a little bit more about that? What is the butcher's feast experience when you're ordering?
The butcher's feast. So right now, about 90% of our guests get all butcher's feast. So that's mm-hmm. that's our jam. And butcher's feast is the most authentic way to enjoy Korean barbecue. So instead of trying to figure out how to order, it's basically our take on omakase.
Okay. Yeah, let the experts do it.
Exactly. Let us do it. You can just enjoy your time. Pick out which bottle of wine or which cocktail you want and let us take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So Butcher's Feast starts with a few banchan.
Mm-hmm.
That's our amuse-bouche, if you will. A few pickled vegetables that has kind of a soy saucy, like vinegary flavor to brighten your palate. So it excites your palate, and then your meat comes out, and it's always four different cuts of meat.
Mm-hmm. Does it change seasonally, or it's usually a standard four cut that captures like the different varieties of meat texture?
It does change. So it definitely changes.
Okay.
Like what chef feels like he should serve is what he serves. So you can come back and then it'll be a little different. So there's a reason for you to come back as well.
Yeah. And then I guess, how should a guest be more mindful of their meats? Because it sounds like it's quite portioned out mm-hmm. and it's like very thoughtfully presented. I do feel like in my experience eating at K-Town, it's like, oh, let's order so much and like till we feel like we can't eat anymore.
Yes.
So what's your take on that, being a carnivore?
Being a carnivore, I actually feel very big responsibility when I eat meat.
Mm.
You know, we all know what meat is, right? Meat is, you know, another animal, and we all know kind of what kind of impact beef agriculture affects the environment. That said, I will always continuously eat beef. But instead of, you know, seeing beef as a source of protein, I see
like it... like an everyday food or something.
Exactly. Right now, there are just proteins everywhere, right? There's mm-hmm. plant-based protein. There's just so many different sources of protein. I view beef as a nice bottle of wine. You know, it's not necessarily a necessity. You know, but when I want to have steak with my friends, you know, it's a very special experience.
Mm-hmm.
So in that mantra, instead of serving, you know, big, gigantic portion of meat, we focus on quality as well as variety. So when you have four different cuts of meat, you're only going to actually eat half pound of meat per person. But because you're enjoying different cuts, different flavors, different textures, the level of satisfaction mm-hmm. that you get out of that, you know, smaller meat is really fulfilling.
Yeah, that's a smart strategy.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then what about, like, talk about the dry aged beef, because that's not typically a thing you see in Korean barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like something you've taken from American Steakhouse. And
yes. Yeah. And you know what, as growing up in New York, when I would go to the best steakhouses, they generally have their own dry aging room.
Mm-hmm.
Not many do, because New York City real estate is really expensive. But we thought it was very important to have dry aging room in-house.
Mm-hmm.
So we dry age 100% of all of our meat. And I love dry aged meat.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is a hallmark of American Steakhouse. Mm. The flavor that you get and the tenderness that you get from aging the meat, plus the meat on the grill on the table. So
mm-hmm. So cool. And it's also a great photo op because it's like downstairs. And I think like when I dined at Cote, me and my friends went downstairs and we're like hashtag sexy meat room because it was lit with like red lights.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. So in Korea, traditionally, all of our butcher shops, mom and pop butcher shops, all have red lights on them.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Why? Like, meat is red, light is red, I don't know.
So I looked into it, and one reason is it definitely looks fresher, because red meat with red light, it just kind of, because dry aged meat and, you know, can be not the most appealing looking thing.
Oh yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Whereas red light kind of makes it really, you know, appetizing and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And secondly, we're at Heritage Radio, so there's going to be a lot of fact checking involved. But what I found out was, I've still yet to fact check 100%, but red light and green blue lights actually emits a ray that actually prohibits bacterial growth. So the fungal growth in it's really not, you know, it's refined.
I see. All right, Simon Science facts now.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
Patina Restaurant Group offers unparalleled service in New York's most iconic locations, including Lincoln Center, Rockefeller Center, and Macy's Herald Square. From meetings and presentations in the glass-walled atrium, to galas in the renovated Palm House, and intimate wedding showers at Yellow Magnolia Cafe, your event will be perfectly imagined and customized at Brooklyn Botanic Garden. You can also enjoy a la carte brunch and lunch at the picturesque Yellow Magnolia Cafe, overlooking Lily Pool Terrace. Chef Rob Newton and chef de cuisine Morgan Jarrett offer warm, distinctive cuisine with a focus on local vegetables, grains, and sustainably sourced meats and fish.
Hey, thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. This is Katie, HRN Executive Director, and I'm so excited to share with you our coverage from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival.
We are here live today at Charleston Wine and Food.
Join us as we talk all things food.
Come to Charleston, eat some seafood. Eat all of the seafood.
Chicken fried chicken with chorizo steak and salsa verde mashed potatoes.
So quintessentially like Southern fare. At its finest.
And have important conversations.
We're also talking about professional women in restaurants and how underrepresented they are, people of color in restaurants, and how they're not talked about.
We get real with Food Network's Manit Chauhan.
Balance is BS. I was told that I wasn't going to be bleeped out.
And find out about raising sugarcane with Chef Sean Brock.
It's like being Indiana Jones or something. You never know what you're going to find.
You'll come away inspired by the power of food and the food scene in Charleston. Here's Dr. Jessica B. Harris.
Food is constantly in flux. Food is always moving. Food is the only real lingua franca that we have that allows us to connect with other folks.
So tune in to Heritage Radio Network on tour at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't go wrong.
Welcome back. You're listening to Feast Meets West. So Simon, tell us a little bit more about like all the physical features at the restaurant. So like, what are the grills you're using and how did you decide on those?
So we use Shinpo Grill from Japan. They're basically like Rolls Royce of tabletop grill.
Mm-hmm. First of all, they're gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that helps.
They're gold looking.
They
yes.
do look like the plates. Yeah. Then.
And this grill is pretty gangster in the most positive way. So what's so unique about it is, number one, on top of gas, there is a charcoal, ceramic charcoal. Mm. So what happens is the gas heats the charcoal. So charcoal is now emitting a radiant heat. A lot of gas tabletop grills cannot cook 1-inch thick steak.
Oh, okay.
You can only cook like thin slivers of meat because it wouldn't penetrate the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that ceramic charcoal allows radiant heat to cook through like 1.5-inch
thick
steak.
Yeah, it's just a lot more powerful.
Yes. And along with power, it also comes with a great ventilation system.
Mm, yeah. One of the rare experiences where I went to like a grilling restaurant and left and didn't smell like meats.
Exactly. It's the whole, like, see, again, we want our guests to get lit and have a great time and hit the town afterwards. But you can't really hit the town when you're smelling like Kaibi. I don't know. I can because I love Kaibi. But yeah. Generally speaking, it's not that fashionable to smell like steak parting out.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a very thoughtful experience.
Yeah, so the ventilation actually sucks downwards. There's a downdraft system.
Yeah, because I also noticed there's no like top ventilation fan that sticks out of the ceiling. Like you've managed to make everything work at the table.
Yeah, it's a really sleek and open space so that you know, our guests can, again, have a great time amongst themselves without obstruction of view.
Mm-hmm. So the other things that help your guests have a great time. So the alcohol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us about the beverage menu and how you came up with that. And then also specifically, I want to call out, what's your obsession with Magnums?
Yes. So our beverage program is helmed by superstar beverage director Victoria James. She's a superstar. So I think the beverage program, so focusing on cocktail, was we want to take American classic cocktails, you know, the old fashions, martinis.
Again, the steakhouse influence then.
Exactly. And add a little bit of the new, you know, mixologist, the refined approach to American classics, as well as adding some, you know, premium soju cocktails and whatnot.
The Korean influence, okay.
Yeah. So you can start with cocktails and have that sort of a familiar cocktail experience. And as far as Magnums are concerned, bigger is better.
Yeah, why is bigger better?
So Magnum is obviously double the size of regular bottle, right? But the opening, the cork where the opening is, it's pretty much the same size. Mm-hmm. So the rate of oxidation slows down. So you have more juice with same amount of oxidation taking place. So wines naturally age better.
I see. Again, yeah. Simon science facts right here.
Yes.
Who
I
knew
hope I'm not wrong.
Opening a like Korean barbecue spot would give you so much insight to this?
I learned it all from Victoria James.
So you mentioned, you know, there is still some like traditional stuff that you can expect at Korean restaurants, so like a ton of banchan, and do you guys also offer kimchi?
Absolutely. It won't be a Korean meal without kimchi. And you know what? You know what's really surprising?
Mm.
We also serve reserve cuts of meat, which are like 130-day plus dry-aged meat. So it's super funky.
Yeah, what do those even taste like at that point?
I call it steak meets blue cheese.
Yeah, it must be. Okay.
Yeah. But that paired with aged kimchi, it's like match made in heaven. It's the coolest thing because kimchi, when it gets really aged, becomes super funky, super acidic. And the aged beef has that kind of intense beef flavor along with a cheese flavors kind of goes really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're like into complexity of flavors, this is definitely a good thing to explore.
Yeah. Ancient steak.
Oh,
yeah.
So what else is on your menu? Any other highlights that are worth calling out?
Yes. So we have Korean paella.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's kind of, I mean, it's more like fried rice than paella, but we thought it was interesting to create that sauerkraut and whatnot. How we make that is rice as well as American wagyus, as well as aged gakdugi, which is radish kimchi. So we chop that up and then we pan fry that with beef lard. Becomes super flavorful. After eating lots of steak, this really kind of tops it off.
Okay, I'll have to like make sure I save stomach for that somehow next time. And then I saw on your site, there was like a section that was calling attention to the salt. Mm-hmm. So what's the deal with that?
Yes. In steakhouses, it's generally simple formula, right? It's steak, wine is pretty much like their driving force, right? And we wanted to kind of keep that mantra of, you know, simplicity. Then salt becomes super important, right? Because you want your meat flavor to really shine through without any sort of other flavors like butter or pepper or anything like that.
Yeah, because again, so the difference is you guys aren't using butter.
No, we don't have butter in-house. Yeah, we want to make sure that we eat clean, you know, steak and vegetables. Mm-hmm. But going back to salt, what we do is we call it coat blend. It's a blend of three different salts. British Maldon salt for the kind of large crystal that crackles. And Himalayan pink salt for high mineral. And Korean Thousand Day sea salt. So, and Thousand Day sea salt, it can be a little wet. So we actually hit it on the wok. So we dry out all of those. And then we blend it together and create a salt blend.
Yum. So all of this kind of like thoughtfulness, it's led you guys to a ton of awards already. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And so what's the reception been so far? Does it meet your expectations?
I think it exceeded my expectation.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I wake up in the morning and kind of pinch myself. Is this really happening? Because this is a dream for 9 years and it finally came to fruition. And it has been just tremendous. We're just really grateful right now.
And since opening the restaurant, so it is still fairly new. You know, were there some like challenges or surprises along the way?
Whew, many. First, the most important, most significant was we were just so busy so fast. You know, we didn't have really time to kind of get our bearings and, you know, figure out how to get more people in and like how to fix this, how to fix that.
Mm. Okay, so a good problem, it sounds like.
That was definitely the grateful problem. Yeah. But also, it is a problem, right? Because if you disappoint that many people, then you're donezo. So
right.
It was very dire at the point. But the biggest one was when Con Edison shut off the gas.
What? Okay.
So we came back from Christmas break, which was we were closed on the 25th. And then we came back on the 26th. And that's when my baby girl was born, too. Mm-hmm. She was born on the 23rd.
Congratulations on that, too.
Thank you. So I was in the hospital. We were supposed to go home. And I get a call from the restaurant. Con Edison came and turned the gas off.
How do they just come and do that?
So apparently the adjacent restaurant was doing a cleaning and then they turned off their pilot gas. That pilot gas emitted into the building.
Yikes.
The
Sounds scary, actually.
It was really, really scary. And building called fire department. Con Edison came. They ended up basically not shutting their gas off, but our gas off because they smelt gas in our property.
Mm-hmm. So now and they're the grill restaurant.
Oh, of course, right? And then no one was at the restaurant, so they turned it off. So now I had 300 guests on the reservation without gas.
Yeah.
So thankfully, long story short, we were able to get the gas back on within about 30 hours of it being shut off. Mm-hmm. It was a real miracle. But honestly, I think I've never been as scared in my life.
Oh, that's pretty miraculous for the holidays.
Yeah.
And then tell us about the downstairs, because when I came to visit, it still wasn't like, you know, people weren't hanging out downstairs yet, but it was definitely a space that existed. So what's the concept with that?
So I can't tell you too much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of where it's a project in development. We want to create like a speakeasy.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So think there's going to be lots of greens and lots of good cocktails and some awesome classic American bar snack with Korean twist.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Will it have its like own name too? Or
name is already determined. Mm. It's located underneath coat, so it's going to be undercoat.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
And so there's quite a few misconceptions of Korean barbecue and Korean food. I feel like you're changing with coat. So let's talk about some of those, because I think what you're doing is definitely bringing the high end. Mm-hmm. More high-end perspective to both of those things. How do you feel? Do you feel like that's correct? Like, what else are you doing in terms of like changing the Korean food landscape?
So Korean food has been kind of a mystery food to many. Like, going thing was, you know, you have to go with a Korean person to a Korean restaurant was kind of a big thing. And another, so at COAT, we try to demystify. We actually try to bring comprehensive Korean food dining experience to New York. And also, as far as a high-end is concerned, you know, when you go to Korea, when you go to China, when you go to Asia, there is it's a really robust, you know, with thousands of years, you know, 1,000 years of history.
Yeah.
And there are high-end restaurants, there are casual restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that kind of higher-end restaurants have not really made its way into America yet.
Yeah, it definitely started out with, you know, immigrants opening cheaper restaurants.
Right.
Yeah.
And I believe Japanese food really kind of are the hallmark of high-end Asian cuisine. And, you know, it exists in Asia, and I want to make sure that we are able to kind of let that culture flourish here in New York and provide that sort of experience as well.
Yeah. And how do your parents feel about it?
Ooh.
Given that, you know, they come from Korea, but they also had their own business, food business here too.
So they're the hardest people to please, right? You know how Asian parents are. They're never satisfied. But they are proud. When they came after I opened COAT and with lots of accolades, the greatest thing was when my father, he never says anything like this, but he said, you know, he's very proud.
Oh, that's so great. What a bonding moment.
Yes.
Okay, and so when people say your name, what would you most like to be your food legacy?
Ooh, can you one more time?
Yeah, so like what would you like to leave behind in terms of like what you've done in the food world or like the space for Korean food in New York City? Mm. So like what would you like to be known for?
I would love to be known for positivity. I truly believe in food. I believe food can heal, you know, diseases, and it can heal depressions. And I really do think, you know, food is, you know, it's a fuel for life. And I'm fully committed into that realm of food realm. So with that, what I love is just positive, you know, you know, it's not so serious. It's not so, you know, precious. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I want to have a great time with my friends and eating good quality food. And if I can basically be the hallmark of having a great time with great quality food that is good for the environment, that is sustainable, that would be my dream. You know, long way to go.
Awesome. So speaking of that, you know, what's next for you and COAT?
It's been only 9 months since COAT opened. So first thing is to, you know, focus my energy in creating COAT to become the best version of itself. But after that, I do believe that Korean barbecue is everywhere in America. And if I can bring Korean steakhouse to more areas, that would be fantastic. So I'm looking for some potential places.
Well, we're behind you. Spread the gospel, Simon. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Linda.
And that just about wraps up today's show. Thank you for joining us. What is the best way for our listeners to stay up to date on COAT news?
Visit our website at coatnyc.com. That's coatenyc.com. And of course, we're in Instagram as a coat_NYC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will back up the website. It's very educational.
Yeah, it's a fun site, right?
Yeah, well, there was some pun in there too.
I think it was EduCoachion.
Oh, there you go. That's the undercoat, EduCoachion. Yeah, your walking brand. And for you listeners out there, did you enjoy this episode? If so, please tell your friends and please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back next week with another awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.